Thank you very much, Scott. You know, I've had the privilege of having four children myself and now 11 grandchildren, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. We love children. Children are just an extraordinary gift from God. And tonight I would like to talk to you about one of the most valuable lessons I learned as a father. And I hope that it ministers to you and that you understand as we go through this tonight how incredibly important it is in your parenting. It's entitled Parenting with Grace. So why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer for a moment. Father, I just thank you tonight for your incredible creation. You're the one who thought this up. You're the one who put it in motion. You're the one who created man, woman, told us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You're the one in Psalms who tells us very clearly, children are a gift from the Lord. Blessed is the man, woman, who has a bunch of them. And I just thank you, God, for all the children that you've brought into being in this church. I remember when it was just all singles and college students. And you started saving people, and you started getting a hold of their lives, and they started falling in love with one another and marrying. And now some 160 babies, Lord, children have been born and little children adopted, and it's just precious, Lord. And it's an incredible responsibility, an incredible privilege. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you touch our heart and you'd help us tonight just to take in what I believe you really want us to understand, how to parent like God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, raising children is going to be one of the greatest challenges you ever face in your life. I've said this many times, and I really mean it. It's a great joy. It's a great joy. I saw just today two little videos. One of the benefits of Instagram or Facebook are the little videos that a grandfather gets to see of his little children doing really cute things, laughing or rolling over in a crib, or watching Avonlea feed little Fisher today or give him a straw, or watch my other grandson feed his little baby brother. And I guess, to be honest, this is going to be the most photographed, videotographized generation that has ever lived. But raising children will also stretch you and challenge you. It'll challenge your emotions, your character, your faith. At times, excuse me, at times it will frustrate you, it will exasperate you, and sometimes you're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel hopeless. You're going to like want to bang your head against the wall and wonder to yourself, how am I to get this through to this child? But here's what you want to remember. Children are, after all, only children. They're full of frailties, weakness, foolishness, fears, quirks, and sometimes defiance. But it is essential that we parent our children with grace rather than stern rigidity, anger, crushing expectations, or stern religiosity. The most important thing to me as I raised my children was this. Am I demonstrating to them in day-to-day life God's grace, compassion, mercy, and love? Am I treating them the way God treats me? Am I dealing with my children the way God deals with me? And I want to talk with you about this tonight. I'm just going to go over some of the things that I would think every day would just run through my mind, little things, as I evaluated, as I thought through how I'm interacting with my children. It's helped me as a father immensely to reflect on how God, through the gospel of God's grace and the love of his son Jesus Christ, how God has treated me, how God deals with me. It's helped me immensely reflect on how much I have needed God's patience and God's compassionate understanding of my fears, my failures, and my hard heart. That's something I want to remind us of as parents tonight. It's real easy to forget what we're really like. I used to tell my children sometimes, and I'll just touch on this only briefly, just briefly. but sometimes when it was necessary to discipline them or train them. I would always tell my children, or consistently, not every single time, I said, "Sweetheart, did you know that God disciplines Daddy?" "He does." "Yeah, you remember those 6 flat tires we had last week?" One week, I had 6 flat tires. I thought someone was after me. It just kept another tire, another tire, another tire, another tire. I said, "You know the trials sometimes that Daddy, you hear Daddy kind of like, why is this happening again? Do you realize that that's my Daddy? My Heavenly Father is working on me. See, because I'm not done growing yet." Have you ever stopped to reflect how quickly our heart gets hard? How quickly we turn away from the Lord? How much patience the Lord has shown to us as adults who really ought to know better? And so it helps me to get a grasp of that as I deal with this little child. My goodness, if God is so patient with me, then I can be patient with my children. God's grace to us through Jesus Christ, rather than God's overwhelming demands placed upon me, has been a life-changing force in my life. God is not a stern, rigid, overbearing parent who's always tearing into me for the mistakes that I make every single day. I'm going to share with you very quickly 2 passages of Scripture. It's hard for me sometimes, I'll be really honest with you, to focus on only 2. Sometimes the reason I don't turn to one Scripture is because 50 are on my mind. That's how much I have read the Scripture. This book has infected me. It's infiltrated the way I think. And the grace of God flows in my mind, in my thoughts, of how I'm trying to deal with people. But here are 2 passages that I want to read to you that illustrate this principle of God's mercy and God's grace. The first is in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. "We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. For our high priest can sympathize with our weaknesses. For he was tempted in every way as we are, but he did not sin. Therefore, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness and assurance, so we can be confident we will receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need." There you have it, right there. The picture of God. We can go into God's presence at any time, for any reason, after right on the heels of a terrible mistake or a blunder. We do not have to grovel. We do not have to do penance. We do not have to say 50 Hail Marys or 72 Our Fathers, but we can go right in to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and he will welcome us because he understands and sympathizes with our humanity. He gets it. And he gives us mercy, and he gives us grace. So as I parented, my goal and my striving was to be the same kind of father that God was to me. And then there's this psalm, Psalm 103. I love this psalm. I wish I had time to read it all tonight, but I want to focus on just this section. "As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord tenderly sympathizes with his children. For he knows what we are made of. He keeps in mind that we are dust." Many, many, many years ago, almost 30, I did a series called Our Heavenly Father. And it was brought back to mind, and I'm going to read you a quote from that guy, Mark Darling, 30 years ago, almost 30, because a young woman recently wrote me. She got up from another state. She got a hold of those messages. She said, "Mark, this was so transformative in my life. I grew up in an extremely, extremely dysfunctional home. Abandonment, abuse. Recently, I was supposed to see my father. I hadn't seen him in years. I've been longing to see him. And instead, he got drunk and he never showed up. And I was devastated." The next day, this individual had a very difficult evening as a result. She failed herself, and she was writing to tell me about it. She said, the next morning I listened to these messages, Mark, and here's a quote that I wrote, and I wanted to remind you that you said, God understands that you are a frail little ball of dust, and your world sometimes makes you come unglued. God has compassion on you. He understands. His heart is moved. I love this. God understands. I'm the kind of guy, I don't like to admit this, is my humanity. I come unglued sometimes. I don't know about you. Maybe you're just Mr. and Mrs. Calm, and nothing ever ruffles your feathers. But I'm telling you, there have been many times in my life I just came undone, undone. And I was so comforted to remind myself that God grasped that I'm a frail little ball of dust. Whether I'm 30, 40, 50, or 60 as I am now, I'm still the same frail little ball of dust. And sometimes life just comes raining down on you, and we just fall apart. And I can either think in that moment, wow, I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit. I'm supposed to be loving. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be way beyond this. And I'm not. And so, I can either grovel, feel bad for the next whole day, or I can come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Daddy, help me out. I had a really rough moment. I had a really rough day. And thank you that you understand me. And it's revolutionary. I'm going to go through these very quickly this evening so that we can be finished a little early tonight. Here were the things that I reminded myself of as I raised my children. I have lots of others, but this is what I wanted to talk with you about tonight as we think about raising our children, parenting with grace. The first, I always wanted to make sure my children did not feel they had to earn my love or approval or my favor. This is incredibly important to me. I never put my children in a situation, Kathy or I, where they felt, where it was regular sort of a tool of manipulation that you earn my favor or you earn my love, that I give it as a reward. Never. That's not the way we parented. That's not the way God parents. That's not the way grace works. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unearned favor. And I never wanted to be a Pharisee parent. Number two, avoid comments like, Mommy's not very happy with you right now. Daddy's not very happy with you right now. Or Mommy or Daddy doesn't really like you right now. Don't say it. Never said it. That I can remember, never said it. Here's why. Because God does not deal with me that way. God loves us no matter what. God embraces us. We can cry, Abba, Father. We can go right to God at any moment, at any time, because of the cross. See, this is all because of the gospel. All because of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. You don't want to have your child grow up with the mindset that, well, sometimes mom and dad liked me, sometimes they didn't. Number three, make sure that your children know and feel that you love them no matter what. It's very important they know. Your love is not sort of given and then taken away, given and taken away. Even in the disciplines in which I gave to my children or my wife did, I can tell you, but they've written me as they're all older. They've written me letters. I didn't bring them tonight. I just never have enough time on a Friday night to do what I'd really like to do. And they've told me, Dad, never felt abused. Never felt abused. I felt encouraged. I knew you loved us. I knew you and Mom loved us. I knew if there was discipline that was needed to give, it was given in love. And it was over in, really, in moments. In minutes. I personally, this is just Kathy and I did not leave my children in a room and say, now I want you to sit in there for the next hour and I want you to think about what you did. If you decide to do that, you're going to have to make that decision on your own. But what I wanted you to understand is, I remember when I was a kid and I got left in a room, and you know what I thought about? How much I couldn't stand my parent. I just got more feisty. It didn't do much in my heart. My children, I wanted to know if there was an air of character we were trying to develop in their life. We dealt with it. If a little brother or sister got hit or something inappropriate was done, we dealt with it and we moved on as though it hadn't even happened. We dealt with it, we moved on. God's grace, just grace, just grace. Yes, grace doesn't mean we pretend, oh, there's something here we have to deal with. But grace impacts how I deal with it. I'm sorry, I've been sick for 13 days now. It's getting a little better, so bear with me. I tell my wife, sometimes, I don't know, what, the Lord has a sense of humor. It's difficult to talk and breathe at the same time. So anyway, number four, this is really significant. Do my children see me show God's grace and love to their mommy or daddy when they fail? Boy, that's a tough one. I found that sometimes it was easier to be gracious to my kids than to my wife. But kids are always watching, aren't they? Kids are always watching. I'm going to tell you one of my secrets. Shortly after I married, I failed so many ways. And we started, then we had children. And I began to realize, it hit me one day, I cannot be, could you turn this up for me a little bit? Thanks. I cannot be a perfect father, but I could be a humble one. I could be a humble one. And so, it was a regular habit. In fact, I'd raise my hand. If anyone apologized the most in our family, it was me. It was me. There were times my words, my impatience got the best of me, especially as it related to Kathy. And more than once, at least 100. I'm sure it was more than 100. I was down on my knees, looking my children in the eye, saying, "Sweetheart, I want to ask you to forgive me. The way Daddy just spoke to Mommy, it was wrong. It was wrong. I should not have spoken that way." And sometimes if I couldn't do it right away, I needed to go get myself together. I go get myself together, and then I would come back and would acknowledge what I did was wrong and ask for their forgiveness. Number five is the way I speak to them, full of love, grace, and tenderness. I need a little more monitor, Corbin. Thanks. Is it full of grace and tenderness? It's real easy. It's real easy to be harsh. And I believe God wants us to learn, and we're all a work in progress, to watch the tone, watch the way in which I come across to my children. Number six, I said yes as much as I could. I tried, I didn't want my children growing up, neither did Kathy. No, don't do that either. No, I know. Just sit and be perfect. Just sit and don't move. All the promises of God are yes. God loves to say yes. Grace loves to say yes. So with my children, I said yes as much as I could. Number seven. This probably, some of these are going to surprise you. I avoided rigid rules. There was always some flex in our way of life, even our bedtimes. Our bedtimes were not super consistent. Sometimes it was 10, sometimes it was 9. Don't take this wrong. Don't take this wrong what I'm going to say here. I won't say it. Sometimes we might even eat dessert before we ate dinner. That was always fun. Sometimes I could just go, "Hey, they're changing the rules. Let's all eat dessert first." And we did. We did. Yes. And I was not rigid with snacking. I told Kathy, "We're never going to have a rule in this house that I don't obey." Like if I don't want to eat broccoli, they don't have to eat broccoli either. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And if I give, and I really mean this, if I give myself the right to walk up to the cupboard and give the cookies just because I paid for them, any one of my kids, so kids, you want a cookie? You get a cookie. You want cereal before bed? You have cereal before bed. I am not going to make a bunch of hard and fast rules about food around here. Yes, we ate at meal times. We had wonderful times around meal times. But there was freedom. Now, before I finish, you're going to have to understand a little bit why this was really big deals to me. Because I'm not just a normal father. I'm a pastor. And the rate at which pastors' kids turn away from God is catastrophic and tragic. And so I was doing everything I could think of in wisdom as I sought the Lord that would nurture a genuine love and devotion in my children to want what their mom and dad had. And I knew that a bunch of silly, dumb rules could be misinterpreted as my dad was one of those Christian, rigid, Pharisee guys, and I don't want to know his God. If that's what God is like, then I don't want it. Kids rollerbladed in the basement. Holy smoke, it was a blast. Micah used to climb up the chimney outside of our house. Remember when Cliffhanger came out? You guys remember Cliffhanger? Sylvester Stallone? So Micah really liked to climb. So one day, this fireplace had little bricks that stuck out this way. They weren't all just flat. And so he found he could get his little legs and little hands, so I'd just stand, and he'd go up pretty high. And no, he wasn't on belay, because I didn't have a belay to put on the fireplace. But when we went to the Mall of America, and they'd set up the big climbing wall, you know, in the rotunda, they put him on belay, and my little three-year-old climbed up to the top. It was unbelievable. Michael was, he was a unique child. When he was about three, approximately, Kathy used to go to the swimming pool in Bloomington. He asked if he could climb up in the high dive. So my wife, again, we try to say yes to almost everything. And my wife's a swimmer. She used to be a lifeguard person. I am not. I don't really like the water. And he climbed all the way up and just jumped off. And then he wanted to do it again and again and again. I couldn't believe it. We tried to say yes. We had a lot of fun. If you talk to Jeremy, talk to the kids, they tell you we had a lot of fun. We really did. I know I don't seem like Mr. Fun. I'm kind of all funned out, to be honest. It just doesn't even. I know this is going to sound really crazy. I'm old. It just doesn't bother me to have fun anymore. My fun really is being with you. My fun is helping people. That's the most fun in my life, is helping somebody. And whether it's my grandchildren or my wife or whether it's you, that's my fun. But when they were little, we just had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fires. We built lots of fires. I let the kids roast marshmallows sometimes over the fire in the fireplace. Or, you know, we just had fun. Here's number 8. I always wanted my kids to know they could come to talk to me about anything. That they would find grace from me, mercy from me. I did not want them to ever live in fear of me. That was a big deal to me. I'm not sure I always succeeded, but I tried. I remember there was a period of time where my daughter, she's not here tonight, but I know she wouldn't mind if I told you the story. She's about 12 or 13, and some of you know my wife has very difficult health, a lot of pain, actually. And so her bedroom, I just didn't sleep there at night because, as you can tell, I have sinus problems, I cough, I get up in the middle of the night, and I wanted her to get good sleep. So I'd sleep out on the couch. And Jessica went through this phase. I don't really know how to explain it, but it was part of just a passage of life, and her thoughts got pretty active, and she'd come down and say, Dad, be 11 o'clock. She'd say, Dad, can we talk? Sure, I'd sit up. She said, Dad, I'm just really struggling with my thoughts. So, I'm sorry, sweetheart. What's up? And I could tell she was a little embarrassed, and so I took some guesses, and she kind of nodded. I said, honey, that's just part of life, sweetheart. That's just part of life, honey. And I'd pray with her. I'd say, well, do you want to go back to bed now? You up? She goes, yeah, I will, Dad. And is it okay if I come back down again if I have more? I said, sure, of course. I remember a period of time, she wrote me a letter about this recently. But this happened for about 30 days straight. And she wrote me recently, she said, you know, Dad, as I look back, you know one of the things that meant a great deal to me? Is you never made me feel stupid. You never made me feel dumb. You loved me and you cared about me. Now, you know, to a normal person, you may think these are kind of tacky, but can I just say in all humility, all four of my children all came to know Jesus just like we hoped. And all four of them came to follow Jesus just like we hoped. And all four of them married Christian spouses just like we hoped. And all four of them today are raising their children in very similar ways, not identical, because they're unique personalities to the way they were raised. And that's all I could have ever hoped. So I say in all humility, I think I know a little bit about what I'm saying. I want to close with this. There's a big difference between trying to help your children develop good character and coming across to them that I'm punishing them because they displease me. I never punished my children. I never punished my children their whole lives. I never used that word. I never punished them. God does not punish you. Jesus was punished for your sin. That's grace. And you got off scot-free. God trains us. I trained my children. I never punished them. And to my knowledge, to the best of my ability, I never came across, you displeased me. Grace. You know how far grace goes to for me? I remember one summer one of my daughters, she was in a program, a leadership program for young people. And I told her, now, sweetheart, when you go out there to Myrtle Beach, please be careful with that phone. But she was one of the leaders, and turns out she had to, you know, a lot of people had to contact her. Well, that was before they have the great deals they have now. You know what the phone bill was at the end of the month? $800. You know who paid it? I did it. Now, yes, I had a conversation with her. I said, hey, honey, $800, that's a whole lot of money. Can you please be careful? Really, you got to watch out. And next month, it was $400. And then she came home. That was nice. You know how many times I take my kid's car and fill the car with gas? Myself. I was always trying to demonstrate to them God with flesh on. God with flesh on. I asked myself this question over and over and over. In fact, I had a life model. I'll share it with you in a moment. Am I making Christ and Christianity attractive to my children? Does my life and my actions make them want what I have? If I don't, I got a lot of repenting to do. Because hell's a real place, and this world will suck you alive. And I have seen more kids' lives ruined to the world. And I swore to God, however it had to happen, it's not going to happen to my kids. I have a dear friend, very, very dear friend, lives in another state. It was about our second or third Faith Walkers. And he had a 14-year-old son. His son loved Faith Walkers. And his son was really looking forward to coming. And 2 weeks before that Faith Walkers, or maybe it was three, his son was standing on a curb. And a car jumped the curb and killed him. And that 14-year-old boy went to be with the Lord. And my friend came to Faith Walkers, and his brother had him get on stage and share the story. And it was very profound. And I know this man, he came up to me afterwards, and he grabbed me. I hugged him, and I told him just how touched I was. And then he looked at me, see, because he has other children. And he looked at me, he said, Mark, I lost one son to God. I lost one son to the world. And I can tell you right now, I'd rather lose all my children early to go to heaven than to have lost my son to the world. You don't want to lose your children to the world. You don't want to lose them to a life of brokenness out there, turning their hearts away from God. So moms and dads, this parenting thing, It's a challenge, yes it is, but it's a joy. It's a joy. And let your children see that joy that you have and the privilege that God gave you to be their mom and their dad. You moms, I want to say this to you. This is Mother's Day weekend, and we have among some of the best mothers I've ever known in the world. I want you to never forget this. The world wants to tell you you're a glorified babysitter. You are not. You are an architect and master builder of that little child's soul and character. And your life makes such an unbelievable difference in the lives of your children. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege that you gave me to be a father, because I don't deserve it. I just don't deserve it. And sometimes I look back, Lord, I'm very, very aware of my own failings. And I think, Lord, you've just been so gracious to me. You give me so much more than I ever deserved, than I ever could have earned. And I so want to demonstrate that, Lord, to the people that you put in my life, to my grandchildren and to our children. I pray, oh God, that you would just make us people that radiate the grace and love of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you help us every day to deeply appreciate the little precious kids that we have. Watch over each family here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.